Hello, everyone. You are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we begin our Newsworthy Clips article. It is April 12th, 2018, and here in the studio with me, I have two wonderful panelists. First, I would like to introduce Linda. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
All right, and we also have Joe.
Hey, glad to be here.
Joe, what is the title of today's Newsworthy Clip?
Well, today's Newsworthy Clip is Uber says it will bring its flying taxis to Los Angeles in 2020.
That's what Uber says. Will it happen? Well, we'll have to wait and see, but it's exciting to talk about. So just a few years down the road, Uber is saying that they will have flying taxis. And I don't know, Linda, sometimes I wonder if this is a good idea because people aren't always good drivers and you have all of these flying taxis in the air. I don't know. What do you think?
Right. I have my doubts about this as well. I think there could be a lot of problems.
Mm.
Like you said, people already drive really badly on the road.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine how things would be in the air.
All right. Joe?
I think about wild taxi experiences I've had where those drivers run red lights, you know, almost
there's
hit
no,
cars.
There are no red lights.
Right.
And there's nothing stopping them in the air.
Maybe it will be better because there are no red lights.
Or maybe it will be worse.
Oh, no. All right. Well, listeners, many of you are familiar with the company Uber, and maybe you have taken one on the ground, of course, not in the air. I have used this service. And, you know, you just download an app and they'll come pick you up. You tie your credit card to it and it's that simple. But in the air, it gets much more complicated. And there are a lot of things that need to happen before this can occur. So let's find out about that. If you have your magazine open to page 22, or if you have your digital device, go ahead and open that up and follow along as we have our first reading for today.
Uber says it will bring its flying taxis to Los Angeles in 2020. In about 2 years, Uber says it will let commuters soar over Los Angeles's snarled traffic in flying taxis. The ride-hailing firm announced that LA will be one of the first cities served by Uber Air, which it says will begin ferrying passengers across the region in electric aircraft in 2020. We're trying to work with cities in the early days who are interested in partnering to make it happen, while knowing that there will be pitfalls along the way, said Jeff Holden, Uber's chief product officer. Uber envisions Uber Air as a commuter option, with fares comparable to taking an UberX car ride. Just like with self-driving vehicles, Uber says it plans to eventually develop aircraft that fly themselves, removing the cost of a pilot and subsequently lowering fares.
All right, well, Uber says they will have these flying taxis in the air in Los Angeles by 2020, so that's really soon. That's coming up in just a couple of years, basically. So commuters will be able to soar over Los Angeles's snarled traffic in flying taxis. Now, LA is known for its traffic jams, right?
Yes. I feel most cities in the United States have terrible traffic, but Los Angeles stands out as having particularly bad traffic.
Yeah, and we use an adjective here to describe that, the word snarled. And snarl just means traffic that there are long lines of traffic, basically, and you can't get through it because there's a traffic jam, right? And so hopefully, Linda, with these flying taxis, you can avoid those traffic jams.
Ideally, yes. But realistically, I don't know, because you can have traffic jams in the air as well if there are a lot of
there are too
planes
many
flying
taxis
around.
Well, I can't imagine there being that many flying taxis, although, you know, I guess they will fly lower than an airplane.
Right.
So hopefully they won't interfere with that, I would hope. Otherwise, yeah, you could have that problem.
So, you know, you see kind of the designs they have for this aircraft. You get the idea that it is sort of a low altitude.
It's almost like a chopper, a helicopter.
Right.
Mixed with an airplane. It's like a hybrid.
Yeah, they have this kind of hybrid design for it where it's a little more aerodynamic than a helicopter, but it still has the top parts, the propellers. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds pretty cool to me. Maybe I would try it. I would have to wait and see. Maybe give it a couple of years before I jump in one of those. Well, the ride-hailing firm announced that L.A. will be one of the first cities served by what they are calling Uber Air. That term, ride-hailing, what does that mean, Linda?
So when you hail a taxi, you're calling a taxi or you're getting a ride from this vehicle.
Right, so you're just putting your hand out there, calling it. We call it to hail someone.
All right, that is true. And so they've chosen L.A. where they can experiment with this. And it says that the company, Uber, says it will begin ferrying passengers across the region. They're using lots of descriptive words here, but they're just saying they're going to carry people around or transport them around.
Right, and usually when we think of ferrying, we do actually think of, you know, the boat that we call a ferry, mm-hmm. you know, that's kind of the wider boat, usually a little slower, and kind of a local transport. You can fit maybe some smaller vehicles, a bicycle, and then sit on one of the upper decks.
And if it's a long ferry ride on the ocean, that can cause trouble for your body, which is what I think of sometimes when I think of riding a ferry. People around me getting sick and me trying not to get sick. Thank God, not all ferry rides are like that. Mm-hmm. But yes, of course, this term just means they're transporting people around, and we normally think of a boat, but in this case, it is an electric aircraft. And it is interesting that it is electric.
Right. So Los Angeles, other than being known for traffic, is also known for pollution.
Yes.
And so having, you know, more gas-guzzling vehicles in Los Angeles is not a good prospect. And so an electric aircraft, I think, is a wise choice, especially as we find kind of transportation regulations in different countries are sort of starting to clamp down on oil consumption and, you know, exhaust fumes and things like that. I think it's a wise choice.
And you used a phrase there that's good. Clamp down on and means that they have stricter regulations in that context. But if you clamp down on something, is that you focus on it more in such a way that you make something more strict or you have stricter guidelines or something like that. But in this case, there are some potential problems, and they have a word here to describe some of the problems they could face.
Right. That word is pitfall. So if you are facing a likely problem or situation that, a difficult situation, then you might call it a pitfall. So Uber Air, they have some potential pitfalls.
All right. They are looking at cities who are interested in partnering with them. And as we know, LA may be interested because of all of the traffic problems. Maybe this will relieve some of the traffic congestion.
It's a shame. I don't think that they would ever be able to get this into Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
But that would be another really good place. So as a commuter in Virginia, I remember having kind of like a little internship I was doing in D.C. Mm-hmm. And a 40-minute drive, like if there's no traffic, it should be 40 minutes. But that drive almost every morning took me about 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I used to live in Virginia as well. Further south, but I would hear people would have like
a two-hour
commute into D.C., and that's pretty intense. So this would be nice to have, but D.C. may be a difficult city because of the political, you know, ramifications, the political environment there. It would be hard maybe to implement this. Well, Uber envisions Uber Air as a commuter option with fares comparable to taking an UberX car ride. And if you are familiar with taking Uber, you know that UberX is a private car service that actually is a lower cost option provided by the company. So when you look at the app that I use, there are two different options. One is more expensive and one is less expensive, generally speaking. And so you can choose the UberX option.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Because I'm not an Uber commuter. Uber-er.
We're making up words here on Advanced today.
Or I haven't used Uber. Mm-hmm. So is there a difference between taking Uber or UberX besides the cost?
Yes, I believe so. One of the options that is also more expensive, they won't have more luxurious cars, possibly, mm-hmm. or nicer cars, I believe. Sometimes I think I've even seen that option where it's cheaper, but in general, that's more expensive. The way it was explained to me by an Uber driver is that, the price changes. If you go into the app, for example, you can kind of play around with it, keep going back and forth, and the price may change, and you may get a cheaper rate all of a sudden, and then that's when you order it, because mm-hmm. it's cheaper. And so it's kind of like a game. And I believe it's that way based on how many Ubers are in the area versus how many people are searching for the Ubers. Or, you know, if I'm searching for an Uber and there are very few, maybe the cost is higher, basically,
right,
is what I'm trying to say. So there are two different options that I've seen here in Taipei. And so they are comparing this to taking an UberX car ride. It is a commuter option. And so I guess you go on your app and you order your Uber Air taxi ride.
I feel like Uber this time around is being a little bit more careful. Because in Taipei, I've watched Uber kind of come and go and then come back again as taxi cab organizations were fighting against having Uber in the city.
Yes, and there have also been problems in London, I believe. And so when they go into these cities, there are issues. And as you said, here in Taipei, it's come back and forth. And, I think anytime when there's something new like this, there can be opposition by other companies, for example, because they're taxi drivers, of course. Maybe they don't want that. And so it can cause some problems.
Right. And that's why I think it's interesting to see Uber is carefully targeting which cities would be more interested in partnering with it rather than just rolling it out like they did in the past, where Uber just mysteriously pops up in London overnight.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I guess you can't just have an airplane pop into a city.
Sure, it didn't happen overnight, but yes, they're trying, looks like, to cooperate with the cities. And, I mean, with something like this, I guess you have to, right? You're talking about flying taxis, which is something brand new, and there are lots of regulations that have to be passed, and lots of things you have to work through in order for this to actually occur.
Exactly. Like right now, because there aren't any flying taxis, there aren't any regulations. I mean, there are regulations for airlines, but this is something that's new.
And can it happen within 2 years? That's what stands out to me, because mm-hmm. that's pretty soon. Will it really happen? And maybe that's a goal, and maybe they won't reach it, but maybe it will be soon after that. We don't know. Well, just like with self-driving vehicles, Uber says it plans to eventually develop aircraft that fly themselves. Now, this is an interesting component. So, Linda, it looks like maybe they won't always have people flying them, but they will be flying themselves.
Right, and this makes me very wary, because if you have a self-driving car is one thing. At least there's the road and, you know, there are certain limitations that it has. It can only stay on the road.
But is that because you're now used to that? Maybe when self-driving cars first came out, you would think, oh, this is a terrible idea. But maybe now we've heard it so much that it seems okay.
Well, there still are limitations. Like it has the road mm-hmm. and, you know, there are stop signs and traffic lights. But in the air, there isn't any road, you know,
right.
There aren't those limitations to keep it in a certain area.
Sure.
And then when you throw in, you know, the concept of it self-flying and take out that human element there, I just see a lot of potential issues.
Yeah, it does sound scary, I'll be honest. Hopefully they'll try the ones with pilots for a while before they mm-hmm. move on to this, but it does seem pretty interesting, doesn't it?
It really does. And, you know, of course, they're doing this so that they can lower costs, because if you don't have to have a trained pilot, you can save so much money. Pilots are not cheap.
That's right. So they are trying to remove the cost of a pilot and subsequently lowering fares.
Right, and that just means to happen as a result. So if they remove that pilot cost, then they will, as a result, get lower fares.
All right, well, there's much more to dig into here, so let's go to our next reading for today.
By the 2028 Olympics, Holden said the company believes Angelinos will be making heavy use of Uber Air. When the service is in full swing, he anticipates that tens of thousands of flights will be performed each day across the city. Designs for the aircraft are yet to be finalized. Proposed takeoff and landing zones equipped with aircraft charging stations have not yet been built. In a white paper published in 2016, Uber outlined hurdles the company is likely to face, including infrastructure challenges, pilot training and certification, and air traffic concerns. The company has taken steps to address some of those issues. Despite the momentum behind the project, Jim Harris, a partner at Bain & Co., who leads the firm's aerospace and defense practice, said the regulatory timeline tends to be longer than companies expect. He said he could see a commercial electric aircraft service launch within the next 10 years. But for a larger scale service that's economically viable, more like 15, Harris said.
Well, something special is going to happen in just a few years, 10 years from now. What is that, Joe?
Well, that's the Summer Olympics in Los Angeles.
All right, and that's always exciting. I like watching the Summer Olympics. I like the swimming event. I like gymnastics, and so that will be happening in L.A. And, of course, that is a huge event. And by this year, Holden said the company believes Angelinos will be making heavy use of Uber Air. Now, we have a term here that maybe you're not familiar with, but you can probably figure it out by the context or by the name itself. But what do they mean when they say Angelinos?
Well, Angelinos just refers to the residents or people who are regularly in Los Angeles.
Right, those who are native to the L.A. area. And we use these kinds of terms a lot. For example, I'm from the state of Tennessee, so I'm referred to as a Tennessean. And some of them get kind of funny, right? You're like, how did you get that from that? Like from Florida, it's a Floridian.
Floridian. Right.
So that's a little different. And then you're from Virginia.
I'm a Virginian.
Yeah.
People who grew up in Washington, D.C. are usually Washingtonian area, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work the same.
Yeah, it doesn't. So, you know, but you can kind of figure it out by the name. It's in there somewhere, but some are a little more different than others.
Right, kind of, like Angelino.
Yes, kind of interesting. Well, so it says people by this time, Joe, they'll be using these taxis like crazy, it sounds like.
Right, they'll be making heavy use, so it'll be a very regular thing, and that service, it's supposed to be in full swing at that point.
That's right. Holden anticipates that it will be in full swing then, and if something is in full swing, it is just it's been going for a while, and it's normal. People consider it to just be, you know, something that they do on a regular basis, I guess.
Right. So in full swing is a nice phrase. You know, sometimes if you have a party that you're going to, you're a little bit late, you'd say, oh, well, you're here, and the party is in full swing. It's been going on. Everyone's having a good time.
In fact, Holden says that there will be tens of thousands of flights performed each day across the city. This is a big, hairy, audacious goal. We
yes,
call that a
definitely.
And it's a big goal, isn't it?
Right. He has high expectations because 2028 is only 10 years from now.
Yes.
And he expects everyone to be heavy users of Uber Air.
Well, I feel like he's sort of advertising his own service and getting it into people's minds.
Yeah.
So kind of saying, imagine with me, 2028, your commuting experience will be in the air. And getting that picture in people's minds as if it's sort of a regular thing already.
Right, it's sort of a sales pitch, right? And I think you're right on that. Joe, well, designs for the aircraft are yet to be finalized. We do see a photo there on page 22, but they have not finalized how this will look.
Right. So what we're seeing on page 22, those two images, they're kind of concept work. They're sort of the rough concept of what this will kind of look like. Of course, I think it'll be adjusted. You know, what I'm seeing here actually isn't a very big vehicle, so I would imagine the final would actually be able to hold more people, I think, to make it a little more viable. So what's kind of crazy is they want to do this in 2020, and it's 2018 now, and then they haven't even finalized the design yet, let that's alone right. worked on implementation.
And Joe just snuck a word in there that's one of our vocab words that we see later. You use the word viable.
Uh-oh, I snuck it in early.
So now tell us what that word means.
Viable just means, you know, is it doable? Is it possible? Can this actually work? Is it a viable idea?
All right, so thanks for giving us that preview of that word. So next we see the proposed takeoff and landing zones equipped with aircraft charging stations have not yet been built. And so they have a lot to do, and we've already learned that they are electric. That's why they need those charging stations. And there's been a paper published, and they call this a white paper. Why are they calling it a white paper? What does that mean, Linda?
Well, it's just an official report on a subject that an organization produces. So Uber would come up with its proposal, and it's referred to as a white paper.
Right. A white paper is any sort of simple thing that even governments use white papers. You know, so for a company, it's here's our idea that we're working on. If it's the government, it says here are some laws or some policies that we're going to be pushing out so everyone's on the same page.
And in this paper, they outline some problems, some hurdles that they are likely to face. And they include infrastructure challenges. Of course, you can imagine with something like this, you have to have the right infrastructure in place. And what about pilot training and certification, air traffic concerns? Linda, we see there are many hurdles that they are facing.
Definitely. And again, I don't know how they're going to get to all of these things in the next 2 years or less than 2 years. It seems pretty unlikely.
Yeah.
Right. There's so many things. And, you know, in this mix, when I think about these hurdles, I also imagine like Uber Air and like Amazon competing for airspace, you know, because Amazon drones are also kind of on the table.
Oh, man.
So there would have to be a lot of coordination, you know,
we're
talking about these infrastructure challenges. Like with airplanes, I mean, there are people who are air traffic controllers, you know, trying to coordinate where planes go, where
would not
you know
want that
they
job
take off.
During like all of it's this going on.
Yeah, it's very very challenging. So
it reminds me of a cartoon I watched as a kid. Maybe some of you have seen it. It's called the Jetsons. Yes. So it looks like we maybe are entering the age of the Jetsons, and they jetted around in some sort of aircraft.
They
right?
had flying cars. They they're like zoom around.
It's very futuristic.
Yes. Well, the future is now. All right. Well, the company, they're taking steps to address some of those issues, of course. And despite the momentum behind the project, there's one person who says it may take longer than the company expects. This man is, his name is Jim Harris. He's a partner at Bain & Company. Bain & Company is a management consulting firm, so I assume they are consulting Uber on some of these things. And we learned that he is with the aerospace and defense practice. What is the aerospace? What does that mean?
So aerospace just deals really with anything with flying, you know, flying vehicles, that sort of thing. And so for him, he's looking at the logistics and the regulations that go into having an aircraft and especially a flying taxi and what that means for Los Angeles's airspace.
They use a phrase called, he uses the phrase regulatory timeline, and that refers to the regulations involved. And so, in other words, there's a lot that they have to work through before they're able to get these taxis in the air.
Right, and Amazon experienced the same thing a few years ago. They had a plan to roll out drones, and their idea was within a year, they're going to be in the air. You are going to get your package delivered to you by a drone. And then the United States government said,
No.
You're not.
Yeah, well, there's a lot going on in the air with all of that, and it could cause problems, and so they need a lot of oversight, right? And so they'll have to work all of that out. And when you're talking about different companies involved, and, you know, what if there's another company that wants to start flying taxis? It could get kind of messy in the air. Well, we learn here at the end this man, Jim Harris from Bain & Company, he said he could see a commercial electric aircraft service launch within the next 10 years. And so he's saying 10 years, but it's even probably longer before a larger scale service takes off. Or he uses that word viable, a larger scale service that's economically viable. We've talked about what it means if something is viable. So what does it mean if something is economically viable?
Well, here economically means is it affordable? So, you know, you could just, is it going to be affordable for the average consumer?
That's right. And we see there at the bottom of page 22 that they're actually partnering with NASA, Linda.
Right. So it says here the company has also partnered with NASA to develop new unmanned traffic management systems intended to enable appropriate air traffic control for aircraft flying at low altitudes in urban environments.
All right, so NASA is helping them out there. And who is going to actually be flying these aircraft?
So there are aviation manufacturers that are involved. You can see them all listed out in our sidebar on page 22. And basically, all these organizations, they'll be supplying and piloting those aircrafts. And so Uber will operate the software that passengers use to book a trip, and they take a commission, much like with Uber rides on the ground. So Uber, their only real function is the app.
All right. Well, that's all about Uber Air. So watch out for it if you're in the LA area the next couple of years or 2 years from now. Maybe you'll be able to take a ride on one of these flying taxis, or maybe it will be 10 years later. I don't know.
Or 15.
Yes, or 15. We'll see. But thank you for joining us today for day one of our Newsworthy Clips article. Join us again tomorrow for day two. Until then, this is Brandon.
Linda.
Joe.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.